بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب وعابر سبيل، وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، رواه البخاري رحمه الله تعالى. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world, and He has sent us into this world, but whilst doing that, He has also told us that our purpose is not this world. So He has sent us into one world and He has told us our purpose is another world. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within every person a nafs. Nafs is the name given to the base desires, the desires which are naturally found in every person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world. He has sent us into this world and He has told us, your purpose is not this world though, it is the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also told us why our purpose is not this world and the hereafter. In reality, if we think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and He gave us everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that because I have decided your purpose is not this world, your purpose is the hereafter, therefore you must work for the hereafter. But if you are the master of someone, you are free to dictate the purpose. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us our purpose is not this world and it is the hereafter. And He has also told us why and explained to us that it is for our own benefit. In simple terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us two things about this world and the hereafter. He has made two comparisons between this world and the hereafter. The first is that this world is low quality and the hereafter is high quality. The world is low quality and the hereafter is high quality. How much is the difference? Imagine there is a person who gains the best life possible in this world. Best life possible in this world means he doesn't face any grief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors of wealth for him. And He gives him the health to use that wealth as well. So, as they say, he lives life to the max. And then he goes into the hereafter. He goes into the hereafter. This is one person. And let's say there is a person who doesn't enjoy this world. He has a horrible life in this world. And he has a fantastic life in the hereafter. He sacrifices. He is poor. He doesn't have anything in this world. But he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first person, the one who enjoyed his life, when he goes into the hereafter and he sees what is waiting for him, the punishment, then upon the first moment the punishment comes for him, then even the thought and the memory of that fantastic life which he enjoys, it will disappear. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, comparing the, in terms of quality, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." This world, the world, is a prison for the mu'min. What does it mean it is a prison for the mu'min? That if the mu'min, the obedient mu'min, he was to have a good life in this world. A person can Yes, a person will have to sacrifice certain desires. But a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can bless a mu'min with a life full of wealth, with a decent level of luxury as well. And if it is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no harm in that. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a practicing, believing mu'min a very good life in this world, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him Jannah in the hereafter, if someone was to ask him to compare the two, he would say the world is like a prison. It was like being behind bars. That is the difference in quality. So there is a huge difference in quality. This is one thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained to us. That this is one reason I have told you to make your purpose the hereafter. It is not for my benefit. It is for your benefit. The second reason, because this world is temporary. Therefore, whatever benefit, whatever enjoyment you gain in this world is temporary. And the hereafter is everlasting. Therefore, whatever enjoyment, whatever benefit you gain in the hereafter is everlasting. And every intelligent person's brain will tell him that something that is everlasting should never be disregarded for something that is temporary. If someone, as Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, he gives a very eye-opening example. He says that, look, if someone was to tell you and I that today you can have a mansion, I'm saying it in my own words, you can have a mansion, all things provided for, food, everything, whatever needs. Basically, you can have something similar to your own Jannah in this world. That dream which exists in every person's mind before he realizes this world is nothing. So he says that you can have a mansion with everything. But you get a choice that you can have this mansion. You can relax and you can enjoy yourself in it. But for 5 years. And after that you will be kicked out. And the other option is you can have this ordinary house. But it is yours to keep. So every intelligent person will choose the second one. Because he will realize that I can have this mansion for 5 years, but after 5 years I am back sleeping rough on the street. What is the point? I may as well have something which lasts me till for this whole life. So even if something high quality is temporary and something low quality is permanent, a person will still choose that which is low quality. But when it comes to the hereafter is high quality and permanent. And this world is low quality and temporary. So when that is the case, then there is absolutely no question that a person should give preference to the hereafter. So these are two qualities of the world which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us. It is low quality. In fact, the world in Arabic, they call it dunya. They call it dunya. And this word has transferred into Urdu, Gujarati as well, but this word is originally from Arabic. And in Arabic, every word or almost every word has some meaning hidden behind it. So the ulama discussing the meaning of the word dunya, they have mentioned that there are two possible meanings behind it. One is that the word dunya refers to something which is very low quality. Very low quality. How low quality? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly says, dunya mata, dunya mata, dunya mata. And this word mata, it is often will be translated as paltry benefit or little benefit. But what does this word mata actually mean? There was an imam and an expert in the field of the Arabic language by the name of Imam Asma'i rahmatullahi. And he says that I was an expert and I used to make it my point to find out the meaning of every word. What is the exact meaning of this word? And the Arabic language is very rich. The Arabic language is not like any other language. Some ulama have written by way of example to show the richness of the Arabic language. That for the concept of crying, there are approximately 300 words in the Arabic language. And each one has a slightly different meaning. One is crying with tears, the other is crying with a few tears, the other is crying profusely, one is crying with sound, the other is crying without sound, and the list can go on and on. So Imam Asma'i rahmatullah alayhi, being his field of interest, he used to make it a point to try and find out the meaning of every word. So he said there was a few words which I couldn't get to the bottom of. And one of them was mata. So in those times, rather than the city, the Arabic spoken by the villagers used to be very pure. So he said, I went to the village. Said, let me go ask some villagers. Maybe they will know what the exact word of this meaning mata is. So he said, I went to the village and my luck struck. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it the case that the meaning of this word opened up to me as soon as I entered the village. How did this happen? I entered the village and it so happened there was a young girl and she was washing some clothing outside. And she was scrubbing the clothing with a rag, removing the stains. And while she was doing this, she probably paused for a moment, turned here, turned there for something. And a dog came, it grabbed the rag in its hand and it ran off. And it climbed up a hill, climbed up a mountain, ran off over a mountain. Now, the girl, she went sobbing to her mother. And she said, the dog came, took the rag and went up the mountain. And she used the word mata'a to refer to the rag. So she said, Ja'a al-kalb wa akhadha al-mata'a wa tabarak al-jabal. So Imam Asma'i rahmatullah alayhi realized that this is the true meaning of mata'a. Something like this rag, which has no value, but it is useful, temporarily useful. And it is thrown away after a bit, but it is useful while it lasts. So this is how low quality the world is. This is one aspect. And the other ulama have said that the word dunya, the meaning hidden behind it, is that it is very close to ending. It is very, very close to ending. Even the person who gains a very long life, for him it is close to ending. The person who gets a good 100 years in this world, when he goes into the hereafter and he will be asked, that kam labistum fil ardi adada sinin. How long did you stay in the world for? This is not after a long time has passed. On the first day, he will be asked, kam labistum fil ardi adada sinin. How long did you stay in the world for? He will answer, labithna yawman aw ba'da yawm. We stayed for a day or maybe part of a day. That is what it will seem like to them. When they see in this world, sometimes we are blinded by our desires and we are blinded by shaitan. It is just like if my glasses, my spectacles are clear, I can see everything the correct color. But if shaitan has tinted my glasses, if my desires have tinted my glasses, then I cannot see everything clear. So something which is harmful for me seems very beneficial for me. But in the hereafter, the moment you read the hereafter, يَوْمَ تُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, it is the day that everything is, secrets are even opened up. Everything becomes clear. So when everything becomes clear, so anyone who is asked that how long was the world, they will say that it seemed like only a day or half a day, part of a day. Now in this hadith that we have mentioned today, which is the fourth hadith in the collection of 40 hadiths compiled by beloved teacher, Shaykh al-Hadith al-Mawlana Salim Durat Sahib Hafidhullah, the first that we discussed previously. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to us the short nature, the short-term nature of this world. He says that kun fi dunya, say in this world, ka'annaka gharib, as if you are a stranger. Aw abiru sabil, or you are someone who is treading the path. What does this mean? Stranger means someone who has entered a new town. Who has entered a new town and he is staying there for maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, if there is some lengthy business. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay in this world as if you are a traveler. And meaning, just like the traveler understands that where he is staying, it is temporary. I live in Batli. But I have to go to London for some business for 2 weeks. Every moment in London, I will understand that I am here temporarily. And because of that, that will completely change my attitude to staying there. At home, I like a nice, comfortable home. But if I go to London and it so happens that majority of hotels are sold out, or for whatever reason it is the holiday season and they are all very expensive, so I can only manage to get a low quality hotel, a cheap hotel, and then I would think to myself, no worry, it's only 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, I'm going back home and I have a comfortable home waiting for me. In the same way, if we understand that we are travelers in this world, that for this world is just like the 2 weeks. In fact, it will seem less than the 2 weeks when we go. Then in this world, if a person has to go and undergo hardship to make his hereafter, he will think, it is only temporary. It is only temporary. In fact, if a person is intelligent, when he goes to London, he will think to himself, let me spend as little as possible on accommodation. Because every penny I spend will be of use at home. Similarly, in this world, an intelligent person will think, let me give myself to the world as little as possible. Because every moment I save for the hereafter. I save for the hereafter how? By doing some action which will go to the hereafter. So I could work for 10 hours a day. But instead, if I work for 8 hours, it will still suffice me in this world. And the 2 hours I can give towards the hereafter. Then that person will understand that I'm giving it towards my permanent home. Just like the person in London. You know what, let me save this money. £500 for a 4-star hotel. And £400 for a 3-star. Let's just take the 3-star because I need the £100 back home. For my home improvements, which will be permanently helping. And when he goes there, if he doesn't like the experience there, he can't find any friends there, he will not be so worried. In fact, he will not go around looking for friends actively. He will think, what am I going to do looking for friends here? I am only here for 2 weeks. Whoever I find as a friend, I will have to leave them after. I will have to leave them after 2 weeks. Yes, at home he will look for friends. He will look for companions. He will make sure that he finds people with whom he enjoys himself. Similarly in the world, if a person has to go through this world in the manner that he does not have many people who like him, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then it is not a big deal. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a hadith that رُبَّ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. There are many people who are ash'ath. Ash'ath means the hair is disheveled. It is unkempt, it is untidy. أغبرة, they are covered in dirt, dust. Because they are poor, they don't have the means for it. مَدْفُوعٌ عَنِ الْأَبْوَابِ. If they were to knock on your door for something, without answering them, you turn them away. They get lost. What are you doing here? So, in this world, they have no one. But what is the status in the hereafter in the eyes of Allah? لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّهُ. In this world, if they were to take the name of Allah, they would to say, by Allah, this will happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to tell us the reality of this world. Because look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a nafs inside us. And this nafs, naturally, it looks at what is in front of it. The hereafter is a reality. And alhamdulillah, we all believe it is a reality. 100% believe. But it is not in front of our eyes. Every moment, what is in front of our eyes? The world. It is in front of our eyes that person has got a good job, so he is climbing the ranks. Before he was in the tens of thousands, now he is in the hundreds of thousands, and now he is a millionaire. Before he had an ordinary house, now he has found a detached house on the outskirts where he is living comfortably. Before he had a car like mine, now look what his car like, and look at my car. It is still the same old standard car, and his car has gone into the tens of thousands. It is in front of us, so we keep seeing it. And the nature of our nafs and our desires is that whatever is in front of us, it gets pulled towards it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to counter our nafs, He has given us something called the intellect. Our nafs is our desires, which pull us towards something. And our intellect is something which makes an intellectual decision. Let me give you a very simple example. If you have an exam coming up in 1 month, then the desire of the nafs is, let me rest. Because rest is immediate benefit. Friends say that, you know what, let's go on holiday for a week. So the nafs sees this immediate benefit. And like I said, the nafs is attracted to whatever you put in, right in front of it. But if a person uses his intellect will tell him that 1 month before the exam, it is not appropriate to go for a holiday. It will harm my result in the exam. So a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has put a nafs inside all of us, which is attracted to what is in front of us, which is the dunya, but He has given us the intellect as well. And the intellect is able to make a calculated decision that, okay, this seems very attractive, but in reality it is harmful for me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeps mentioning statements like this, so our intellect understands this. It gets embedded into our intellect. So when the crunch comes, we can use our intellect. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kun fi dunya ka innaka ghareeb." Say in this world as though you are a stranger. Aw aabiru sabil. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an even stronger example. He said, actually take it a step further. You're not a stranger. That you have come into a strange town, you are staying for 1-2 weeks, 1-2 days. You are aabiru sabil, someone who is passing by. You have not even stopped at all. Your stay in this world is so short that it's like you have not stopped at all. You are just passing by. You pass by some nice scenery. You see it for a moment, fleeting moment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this is a better example for the world in terms of how short-lived the world is compared to the hereafter. See, when we say hereafter is everlasting, 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 then we can't really understand truly what everlasting means. But ulama have given us examples so we can understand. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah, he gives an example. I mean, I'm giving it in my own words. He says that imagine, for example, this room. It is full of small pebbles, top to bottom, wall to wall, corner to corner. And every 1,000 years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a bird to remove a pebble. So 1,000 years have gone, one pebble has been removed. Another 1,000 years later, another pebble is removed. Another 1,000 years later, a third pebble is removed. Eventually, this hall, this room will become empty. Eventually, it will take a long, 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 long time it would take. But eventually, it would become empty because it is limited. But even then, the hereafter will not come to an end. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being very kind to us and not wanting to make sure we harm ourselves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeps embedding this point into our heart. Keep your mind towards the hereafter. What's in front of you, don't let it distract you. Keep your mind to the hereafter. Keep your mind to the hereafter. And that is why some people say the ulama keep talking about the same thing. The ulama keep talking about the same thing because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept talking about the same thing. And he kept talking about the same thing because he realized that in front of my sahaba is the world. So if the hereafter is not mentioned, it will not remain in the minds. So what is in front of them will deceive them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us this example. There was a pious person by the name of Bahlul rahmatullahi alayhi. And he was pious, but people, when they used to look at him, they used to think he's a bit of a fool. He used to deliberately, you know, not behave, people thought, you know, he was a bit foolish, etc. He would get tricked and deceived by other people. Whereas it was probably his compassion that he would let other people deceive him, let them off with his money and with it. So he had a master. And one day his master played a joke with him. He said to him that, come here. And he had love for Bahlul. So he used to mess around with him. So he said to him that, look, this is a staff I am giving you. And when you find someone who is more stupid than you are, then give him the staff. When you find someone who is more stupid and more foolish than you are, then give him the staff. So his slave took the staff and he said, okay, master, what was he going to say? It is his master after all. After some time, days pass, months pass, maybe years pass. Then the master has deteriorated. Doctors gave the answer that no, you're on the way to the grave. So the master, as is the case, he started asking for forgiveness from those people who he felt may have wronged him. So he thought, you know what, this slave of mine, I used to joke with him a lot. Sometimes I used to say things that may have offended him. So let me call him and ask him for forgiveness as well. So he called him and he said that, look, I am leaving soon. So please forgive me for if I said anything to offend you. So the slave asked that, you're leaving? So the master said, yes. So the slave said, where is the destination? The master said, it is very far away. It's a long trip. When are you going to return? There is no return. Okay, so when are you leaving? She said, anytime. It could be within the next few minutes. The slave said, wait a moment. He went to his room. Before he asked one final question, he said that, normally I see you doing so many preparations when you do a short trip. You do a short trip around the kingdom to have a look at the kingdom, and you make so many preparations. Soldiers get ready in advance, your horse gets. Where is the preparations? I can't see any preparations. So the master said, I have not made any preparations. So the slave said, wait a moment. He went to his room. He came back with the staff. And he said to him, that you told me that when I find a person who is more foolish than I am, then give them this staff. Today I have found someone. Because until now I have seen you doing so many preparations for a trip that is going to be 1 week, that is going to be 2 weeks. And now you are saying that you are going for a trip which you will not return, but at the same time you have not done any preparations. So I think I have found someone more foolish than I am. So a person needs to realize what is his temporary home and what is his everlasting home. I will finish with the statement of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith. And after mentioning this hadith, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, remain in this world as though you are a traveler or a wayfarer, he used to add a statement from his side. Explaining this hadith, he said, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. When you wake up in the morning, then don't wait for the evening. Don't expect to reach the evening. Don't think, yes, I am definitely going to reach the evening. No. By that time, you may well have moved on in your travels. There are so many people. It is so strange if we think about it, that if there is one person which every human on this planet agrees on, it is death. That death is going to come. People disagree whether there is Jannah or not, whether there is Jahannam or not, whether there is Allah or not, although they are in the wrong. But no one disagrees about death. So every single human on this earth agrees that death is going to come. Similarly, every single human on this earth agrees that death is going to come, and it can come anytime. So these are two facts that are absolute. But still, Shaitan somehow manages to make a thing that, okay, death can come anytime, but my death is not going to come anytime soon. My death is a long way away. And when Shaitan puts this thought in a person's mind, then he can mess around with the person. Then he can tell the person, so many traps of his open up. This is the base for so many traps of his. Then he can tell a person that, you know what, enjoy yourself for the next few years. You have this opportunity to take this impermissible pleasure. You know what, take it, do tawbah afterwards. Why? Because you're going to get afterwards. Whereas there is no guarantee you're going to get afterwards. A person may well pass away doing the same. And this happens so many times. You know what, I will worry about the hereafter. But at the moment I am young. I have a family to earn for. I need to get a home. When I am 30, 40, I will go for the hereafter then. I'm running 5 more years I need for my business. Then, afterwards that I will have made enough money to until my grave, then I will give myself up for the hereafter. It is from this one thought that Shaitan opens all these traps. That no, your death is not coming anytime soon. Your death is not coming anytime soon. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَطِيَةٍ. The love for this world is the root of every evil. So on the other side, if you disattach yourself from this world, how? By understanding that it is short-lived and it is low quality. Then inshallah, you will be able to carry out every good deed. Because the root of every evil is removed, so the door of every good deed will be opened. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that when you wake up in the morning, don't expect to see the evening. From time to time, go to the graveyard. We go to the graveyard, but we only ever go to benefit other people. We go to think that my friend has passed away, my mother has passed away, I will pray for them. That is one purpose of the graveyard as well. But the second purpose of the graveyard, which is more important, and the reason I am saying it is more important is because you can pray for your mother sitting at home as well. You can pray for your mother sitting at home as well and she will still gain the reward. But the second benefit you will only get when you go to the graveyard is that a person remembers death. So go to the graveyard from time to time and look at the dates on the stones. You will see that yes, there are some people who passed away when they were 60, 70, but there will be some people who passed away when they were 50. There will be some people who passed away when they were 20. In fact, you will look at some of their names and you will say that I recognize that name. He was with me in this world. He was in my class. He was in my class in school. He was one of my friends. He was on my age group. You will see names like that as well. And on the other side, you will see the names of people who have passed away a long time ago. And when you see those names, think to yourself that so-and-so passed away in the 1960s. That means after that, for another 60 years he has remained in the grave. Probably the same amount as his life. And if he led a good life, then he has been basically enjoying himself for 60 years. And the day of judgment hasn't even come yet. And if he lived a bad life, then he has been punished for 60 years and the day of judgment has not even come yet. So, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءَ. In the morning, don't expect to see the evening. وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ السَّبَاءَ. And in the evening, don't expect to see the morning again. Don't expect that you will wake up at night. How many incidents do we hear of so many people who are healthy, but the eyes don't open in the morning? وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. And take benefit from your days of health for the days of your illness. When the days of your illness come, then all these thoughts will come that I wish I could have done this to good deed. I wish I could have performed salah regularly in the masjid when I was young, but now it is too late and now I'm ill, I cannot do it. When a person is ill, when a person who has any level of religious worry is ill, then he has some feeling of sorrow because there are some good deeds that he cannot do. But there are two types of people. One is that person who, before he was ill, he was doing plenty of good deeds. Before he was ill, he was very punctual with his salah in the masjid. And that illness stopped him from going into the masjid. And there is that person who, before he was ill, he did not really bother going to the masjid. But when he became ill, and he was sitting at home, then he thought to himself that I should have gone in the masjid. So both will feel sorrow. But the promise of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that when a person becomes ill, that every good deed that he is unable to do because of illness, and he was doing it, he carries on gaining the reward for it. So if that person is not able to go into the masjid for the last 20 years of his life, but he was punctual for the first 20 years, then he gains the reward of every salah in the masjid. But that person who didn't make use of those first 20 years, he has lost that reward of the second 20 years as well. So وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ. Take benefit, make use of your health for the time of your illness. وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And make use of your life for your death. So in this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example of your temporary stay, your hotel and your home. But the difference between this world and the hereafter is that this world is our hotel and the hereafter is our real home. But whatever improvements we want to make to our real home, we cannot make when we reach there. It has to be made here. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to embed this reality into our hearts. If this reality gets embedded into our hearts, then everything becomes very easy. And for this, a person has to remind himself of this reality. That is why we have these discussions. And that is why from time to time, a person should think about this himself as well. He should go to the graveyard. He should think about death. He should tell himself that I could die anytime.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. But this is a request to keep coming. To every person should make it a point of how regular he can come to the gathering of the ulama. Maybe it is once a week. If it is not once a week, okay, is it twice a week? But I will go every second week. Maybe it is not twice a week, maybe it is once a month, but okay, I will go every once a month. Because some topics need reinforcing. And then once they embed themselves into a person's mind, then a person keeps moving. But until then, they need reinforcing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq.